in sin's black night, and there was no way I could make my wrongs right. Then that old accuser to the Lord did cry, he is just a sinner. Saying, Father, I'll go, I'll pay his sin debt in Calvary's flood. I'll bear in my body the marks of the cross to save that child sick and lost. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. Oh, it's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. Still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. There are those who rely on the works that they do, and some men count on the times they pray through. But when the battle's over and the last song is sung, still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory.
O'clock service, I'll be speaking, drawing for you. Subject will be Psalm 23. And right now we're going to turn to the book of John and the 19th chapter. John 19, and we're going to read verse 16, 17, and 18. Concerning another look at Calvary. So as we take another look at Calvary, if you've already been saved, then you have already been to Calvary. But if you're lost, you need to come to Calvary, because that's the only place you can find forgiveness for sin. It's the only place we can go to be saved, to Calvary. I heard of a man who was a very educated man, and he was riding on a ferry boat, and they were leaning over the railing and they were talking, and the man that the educated man was talking to was a very uneducated man. And so the educated fellow said to him, "Do you know anything about geology?" And the guy said, "No." And the educated man says, "Well, you're one quarter gone." He said, "You know anything about zoology?" And the guy said, "No." He said, well, you're half gone. He said, you know anything about biology? And the uneducated man said, no. And the other guy said, well, you're three quarters gone. Well, about that time, a big wave hit that ferry boat, and the educated man fell over the side and into the water. And the uneducated fellow says, do you know how to swim? And the guy said, no. And the uneducated man says, well, you're all gone. It just illustrates the fact that we can know all about other things, friend, but unless we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're lost. We're lost for all eternity. The most important thing there is being saved. Nothing will exceed that. And so, if you've never been to Calvary, then your life is slipping away. And the Bible says we know not what a day may bring forth. We think pretty much things are going to go on like they are now. That's not true. We know not what a day may bring forth, what's going to be tomorrow. And so we trust Christ as our Savior while we have opportunity. And it's sad, it's really sad that people die unsaved. It's absolutely unnecessary because God has done all He can to provide salvation for us. And all we have to do is to accept His biblical plan for our soul. Now notice the reasons for the cross. Matthew 16, verse 21. Now from that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must, and look at that little word, must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. He used that little word, must. That's why He went to Calvary. He must go to Calvary to pay for our sin. Because of man's sin, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned, and so consequently, we're all equally helpless and guilty of sin. Years ago, many years ago, an evangelist was going to preach in a city, and so before the meeting, he wrote to the mayor of the city. And he says, would you send me a list of all the people in your city that have spiritual problems and need prayer? Well, a few days went by, and in the mail, he received a city directory of that town that he was talking about. All the people in the town have spiritual problems. Everybody, is there anybody here today that doesn't need prayer? We all need prayer. We all have things in our lives that need to be paid attention to here. And so, notice this. Notice the reality of the cross. John 19, verse 16. Then delivered He Him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led Him away. We see so much make-believe today. The term is popularly used, fake news. Seems like everything's fake anymore. It's all fake. I don't watch ABC, NBC, CNN, or any of them for the news content. I occasionally watch it for entertainment. Because at least 50% of it is a lie. And my time's worth more than that. It's trying to lead me to another conclusion about a matter. Propaganda is what the best name for it is. But let me tell you something, friend. When Jesus was on the cross, that was not a stunt man. That blood that Jesus shed, that was not fake blood. That was real blood. That whip, that scourge that was used, upon the backside of Jesus. That was real. That wasn't fake. That wasn't Hollywood. The American Medical Association gave an analysis of the Jesus' death on the cross, and it paints a chilling picture of how cruel human beings can be to one another. Someone said long ago, it's extraordinary. And nothing exceeds the inhumanity to man. One's inhumanity to man. And as they studied the cross and its effect, the report mentions 7-inch spikes used to nail the hands and feet of Jesus to the cross. And that spike, by the way, I've done it myself, and other artists have done it, but it's the wrong way to do it. We have put the nail prints in the palm of the hand. Actually, I don't think that they were put in the palm of the hand, although the Bible does not say exactly what point the nails were driven through his hand, because that nothing there is there but flesh to hold him to the cross. The body weight would have torn him from the cross, no doubt. In the Middle East, the wrist is considered part of the hand. And so most likely the nail was driven through the wrist. So these bones have the strength to hold his body to the cross. It mentions the work of insects and birds on the victim's eyes, ears, nose, and the loss of blood and infection of the scourge wounds. And it mentions the painful mutilation of the sensomotor median nerve. There is a nerve in the human body. It goes down the length of the arm into the hand, the sensomotor median nerve. Those guys doing the nailing, they knew exactly what to do. They were experts. They put that nail down to the sensomotor median nerve, and that causes excruciating pain throughout the human body. Crucifixion had a catastrophic effect on breathing, the heart, and the body in general. It was a horrible, lingering death. Isn't it something how that the authorities today argue whether Old Sparky is more humane or a drug? No such debate went on back in Bible times. It's just the opposite. The authorities of the day sought to make death as painful and as lingering as they possibly could. He had his robe stripped off him by the hostile crowd. We artists will draw Jesus with a loincloth. But here's the truth, according to Psalm 22. He didn't have a stitch of clothing on. Part of his public humiliation, as passers-by saw him hanging on the cross. Not only that, but the separation of the cross was real. Matthew 27, verse 46 says, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He had been forsaken by the religious leaders of the day. In fact, they are the ones that orchestrated his crucifixion. They only use the Roman government to do their bidding. And just as in Bible times, organized religion today is just as wicked and as far from God as it was then. Most of what we see in religion today is straight from the devil. Satan's all over it. He had been forsaken by religious leaders and by his family. Did you know that many times when a person gets saved, his own family will turn against him? Many have found that to be true down through the ages. In some parts of the world, they'll kill him if they can. His family had forsaken him. His disciples had forsaken him. His friends had forsaken him. And now, his father had forsaken him. An artist can paint the hands and the feet of our Lord, but we can't paint the healing power of those hands and the godly walk of those feet. We can paint the outward suffering, but we cannot paint the inward suffering. And the inward cause of the outward suffering. Not only that, but notice the results of the cross. By the cross he purchased our pardon. Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The redemption always implies a price being paid for the freedom that is purchased. Here the price is blood. No other price would do. Nothing but the blood. As we heard the song Cheryl sang a while ago, nothing but the price of blood is sufficient to redeem the lost. God demands a blood sacrifice. There is a new product on the market, well, it's been a few years now, called the disposable guilt bag. And the disposable guilt bag appeared on the marketplace, and it consisted of 10 ordinary brown bags. And they had printed instructions on the bags. Place the bag securely over your mouth. Take a deep breath and blow all your guilt into the bag. Dispose of the bag immediately. Now, the amazing thing, that's not the amazing thing. Here's the amazing thing. According to the Associated Press, here's the main thing here. They reported that 2,500 of these bags were sold at $2.50 a set of 10 bags. Came in a kit. Now, many wish they could dispose of their guilt so easily, amen? But here's the fact of the matter. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ to put away sin. Nothing else will do. No self-effort can accomplish it. There's nothing on this earth that can dispose of our guilt. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can. We can't fix ourselves. And many are trying to, maybe you're trying to do that today. You're trying to spruce up yourself and you think you're going to be able to deserve heaven. I want to dissuade you of that this morning. All self-help will fail. And as long as you're trying to do it yourself, you're going to wind up in hell unless you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ and His blood. That's what being born again means. A new birth. It's the power of God's grace in the cross of Jesus Christ. There was a law passed in Tokyo, Japan, in 1900, around 1900 at least. And the law was, said this, no foreigner could take up residence in Tokyo without having a substitute. Now, a substitute was a person, a Japanese person, who volunteered for this work line of work. And the foreigner was to pay this person to be their substitute. So if the foreigner got caught jaywalking, well, he wouldn't have to pay the fine or he wouldn't have to pay the penalty. The substitute had to pay the penalty. And that went all the way up to murder. If the foreigner murdered somebody, well, he wouldn't have to be sent to jail or executed or whatever. His substitute would have to pay the penalty for that. As you might imagine, that law didn't last very long. They ran out of substitutes or people that wanted that line of work after a while. And so Jesus is our substitute, friend. You should have went to that cross. I should have went to the cross. But Jesus went there in our stead. He did it for you and for me. Jesus. It's all in Jesus Christ. He took our place. He paid the penalty on our behalf. Now I want to illustrate what the cross might have looked like. And those bloody nails, what they might have looked like. So I'm going to go to the upper room here, and I'm going to draw for you, okay? Let's have the lights out. My co-worker has been detained here.
spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. At Calvary.
Let's all stand together, please. Every head bowed. How about you, my friend? Have you been to Calvary? If not, you can be saved this morning. Lights on, please. And the Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. Every person on this earth came into the world as a sinner. And we all need to be saved. Saved from what, you might say? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. There is a heaven and there's a hell. They're both real. And every one of us will go to one of those two places whenever we die. The Bible says only Jesus saves. That word save is a good old King James Bible word. It's used over and over in Scripture. God wants to save you this morning if you've never trusted Christ as Savior. I wonder if there's a man or a woman or a young person who might say, "Preacher, I don't know where I'm going to go when I die. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I don't know if I'm going to hell, but would you include me in your prayer this morning?" Is there someone like that? Just lift up your hand. I want to pray for you right now. Anybody like that? Lift up your hand real high and put it right back down. Man, woman, or young person, you don't know where you're going to go, but you'd like to know. And you'd say, "Preacher, include me in your prayer. Include me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. But I'd like to be." Is there someone like that? Is there someone like that this morning? Just lift up your hand. Heavenly Father, apparently everybody in this room today is sure they're going to heaven. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us to work. We don't want to go to heaven by ourselves. We want others to go to heaven. We're concerned enough about their soul, we would give them a track. We'd write them a letter. Or we'd go in person and speak to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And tell them it's not necessary for anybody to go to hell. Because Jesus has accomplished the work already. 2,000 years ago on Calvary. And all that God requires of us is that we recognize that we're lost. And we recognize the work of Jesus Christ from the cross to pay for our sin. What's more, we can know all about that and still not go to heaven because we've not asked Jesus to save us. I pray that you'd help us speak to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in his name for his sake. Amen. We're going to sing right now, and might be that you'd just like to come and pray this morning. You're welcome to come. Perhaps you need to join this church. There's a church for every Christian. This might be the one for you, and if it is, you're welcome to come. Whatever your need, you're welcome. Come to the altar And we're going to sing Just As I Am, and that's how God wants every one of us to come, just as we are right now. You come right now. Come on.
Just as I am, and waiting not. Oh, one dark blot. Oh,
Cheryl's going to sing that next verse that says, "And waiting not." Did you know waiting is the devil's idea? The Bible says now is accepted time. The devil wants us to wait.
Just as I am and waiting not to rend my soul.
Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for eternal salvation. Thank you that it's free. And Lord, by chance, I pray that if someone in here is not saved, do not know you, even if they have doubts or questions, I pray that they'd get that settled today and they'd have an assurance that they have eternal life. Nothing better than that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're dismissed.